Good evening, welcome along to the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. International break, so no surprise, John Aldridge vanishes. Never mind, Graham Sharp is pretty committed to the show. Evening, Sharpie.
Evening, Steve.
And Dominic Matteo picks up the red corner. Lovely to see you again, Dom. Thank you
nice
very much.
Nice to be here, Steve, thank you.
The Champions League...
Look forward to a quiz.
Oh, God. Why are you thinking he's the weak link?
Yeah,
hold
on. Aldo says he's the weak link.
Last two I've been up against you, I've won.
Yeah, you have.
So...
So what are you looking forward to?
I'll let him have one tonight.
The importance of this quiz, Pence.
I'll be crying off.
So in the last show, we were talking about the Champions League draw, and we had a sweepstake, didn't we? We all picked absolutely how the draw would work out, and we put a tenner in the pot each, and that money's still there.
Well, the score was nil, 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 nil. Not one of us getting.
We didn't get a point, did we?
No one needed.
Absolutely unbelievable. So what day was that, the Champions League? Was that Friday, was it?
Yeah, Friday.
All right. Yeah. Dom, you've got an affinity, a relationship with the Champions League. What about that draw for Liverpool?
That's a decent draw, isn't it? Obviously, it's panned out to, you know, to play Barcelona if they were to get through. It's a difficult one. There's no easy games, is it, at this stage? You know, Porto have got experience. They've won it in recent years under Mourinho. So they've got some good players, and it won't be an easy game, especially over there. It's never a given, but I think...
But Liverpool slapped them 5-0.
Yeah, we'd have taken that draw all day long. But I'm expecting us to get through it, definitely.
Right, yeah, are you going to moan that it was too easy for Liverpool now, Sharpie?
City have had the easy draw and everything this year. Man City, the League Cup, the FA Cup, the Champions League, happy days for them.
Who knocked you out the FA Cup? Was it Wolves at home?
Yes.
So you should have won that.
No, Wolves away, wasn't it?
Was it Wolves away? Yeah. No, listen.
City have had it easy, haven't they, with their draws?
So. I wouldn't say they'd have it easy. Listen, every game's difficult, don't get me wrong. But I just think that the Champions League draw, I'm not sure if I like the way they do it now, and the fact that Liverpool already know if they beat this one, who their opponents are going to be in the next one. I think that just takes away from it a little bit.
The draw was always part of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Especially
for the
semi-finals.
That, and then go through it again, the suspense again about who you're going to get.
Was it different in your day when you got to the semis? Did you have the draw after the quarters, did you?
I think so, yeah.
I think this is the first time it's changed. And I'm not sure about that, because when it came out at first, you're kind of looking out and thinking, oh, this might happen in the semi-finals, but it's already been drawn, so you lose the appeal of it a little bit, kind of thing. Don't get me wrong, Liverpool, I think, have got the easier draw, and Porto, yeah, they're a strong physical side. I saw them pre-season. Everton played against them pre-season, got a couple of big lads up front, powerful guys, kind of thing, and they've got one or two really decent players in midfield, but I still expect Liverpool to beat them over two legs.
You would, wouldn't you, Dom?
I think you're right, yeah. I think it was a good draw. But I never think that this point in the Champions League, there's always one team, but I think it this year, and I think Sharpie picked up on the team, was Ajax.
Yeah.
Remember we talked, I think, on the shows I did this year, Sharpie picked them out, and I'd watched that game as well against Real Madrid when they're unlucky to lose the game, and they played I think they could be a little bit of a dark horse in this tournament.
So that was a good one to avoid?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. A good young side, not playing particularly well in the league, Ajax, but in this Champions League, they're on a bit of a roll and not fearing anyone.
And it could be Liverpool-Barcelona. Messi scored another hat-trick yesterday, didn't
phenomenal
he?
Phenomenal goal.
Suarez scored again.
Yeah.
I don't know how many hat-tricks that is in the past two seasons, but it's stupid levels, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. He's absolutely... The one, the chip was absolutely sensational. Yeah. Hats off and just go, let's go home.
Yeah, I think it was great as well. The fans from the other team, they were clapping him, weren't they? And you don't often, if not very often, you see that anywhere in the world, is there, that someone's that good. I think they did do it once at Real Madrid, didn't they? When Messi scored. Or was it Ronaldinho, actually, when he absolutely destroyed Real Madrid? I think the actual Real Madrid fans clapped him as well. Not very often you see that level. And it's just great to see someone like that.
Stunning.
What a player.
I'm already making out it's Liverpool, Barcelona in the semis. Anyway, let's get to the Premier League. A success for Everton yesterday against Chelsea. I didn't think this was going to be, and it wasn't easy, because the first half demonstrates that Everton suffered, I didn't think it would be a 2-0 result.
No, but I said to you, I fancied Everton. Just this feeling, I just thought, somebody said even before the game, I thought, I fancy Everton 2-1. Then the game kicked off and I thought, wow, we're miles away. Absolutely miles away. Hazard, pulling the strings, looking the danger. Pedro, looking at danger, and you're thinking, I'm not sure about this. And then first half was all them. Jordan Pickford made a couple of good saves. Second half, we immediately came out, could have scored in the first attack. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin was one across, and Bernard just couldn't go on the end of it. And we started the second half really well. So you look at it and thinking, why can't you do that for 90 minutes? And I think at the moment, that's what's happening. You know, we go 2-0 up against Newcastle, and then for the latter part of the game, we struggled. It was reversed, roles reversed this time, but we were poor in the first half. But second half, a really good, put some good football together and caused them problems. You know, and I just said to Christian on the way in, they've got problems. They've got some good players, but they've got some problems here as well. And I'm not sure if the manager's going to be there that long.
They're going to lose Hazard, aren't they?
Going to lose Hazard, you know, I'd imagine. Yep. And I just look at them and I think, oh, look at David Luiz, and you know better than me. Yeah. You're a centre-back kind of thing. But I look at him and I think, no, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about him. There's just one or two little areas you can see it just falling away.
Well, the blatant one for me is Kante, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the best holding midfield player in world football, yet he can't play there. And I think he's struggling to play in that position that Chelsea are asking him to play in my opinion. You know, it's my opinion, but he's still playing all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've got a player sharp, you're that quality in that position, a World Cup winner, you know, you can't be that stubborn not to use it.
Ross Barkley, he played. I thought Ross did well for Chelsea. I thought he played well. I thought he was unfortunate to get dragged off. Obviously, he got battered all through the game with the supporters kind of thing. Listen, you don't like seeing it kind of thing. I don't think the way the move came about endeared himself to the Everton fans and, you know, the role of the agent and everything else. But, you know, sad to see because he was a decent lad. He was decent performing, played some good games for us kind of thing. But, you know, supporters don't forget and they gave him a really torrid time yesterday. But I thought, coming back, he did really well. I thought he really did well for Chelsea.
But before you arrived in the office, myself and Dom were talking about how good Dominic Calvert-Lewin is. At the moment, in terms of effort, work rate, maybe not getting as many goals as he deserves, but you can't help but feel endeared to him for what he's doing.
He's getting a bit of stick, but you know, but again, I've said it all along, and I've always backed him, and I think he's got all the attributes you want. He's decent in the air, he's quick, his touch is good. If there's a negative, he doesn't score enough goals, but as I said time and time again, it is a really hard job in a side that doesn't create an awful lot of chances. You know, to hold the ball up, then get in the box and everything. I think the best at it at the moment is Harry Kane, you know, that all-round kind of striker. But I think Dominic's got a real good chance. You know, and the good thing about it yesterday was the big boy plays Rudiger. I haven't seen Rudiger get the run around as much as I've seen yesterday. I thought, wow, this is what I want. I want Rudiger to go into that dressing room and go, don't fancy playing him. You know, every week kind of thing. He's never stopped running. He's pushed me in the channels. And I thought he really upset, you know, Rudiger yesterday. So I thought Dominic played really, really well.
Better physicality about him, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I know I've seen him, not as much as Sharpie, but sometimes I see him, I think to myself, he needs to be a bit tougher, a bit stronger, a bit more physical. Give defenders a hard day. And I think yesterday when I watched the game, he did give them that.
Maybe it comes with age. What about Liverpool? I think Jurgen Klopp called the game. What did he say? Average but sensational. Sensational result.
It was the right result in the end, just about. But I think we might have got away with one, to be honest. It was a soft penalty, but I think it was a pen.
Well, it was a pen, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a pen, but it was a soft.
I thought you
the keeper was
that.
Stupid, wasn't it? Oh, come on, did you watch it? What was the keeper doing?
Of course he watched it.
I tell you what, I give him 5 out of 5 for the dive. He did really well.
It was a proper Pickford moment, that, from the keeper.
No, it wasn't as bad as that.
No, but he got, I mean, it was an unusual kind of poor goal that Liverpool conceded. It wasn't the Milner kind of sloppiness with the clearance and then obviously Van Dijk and Alisson. It was kind of something they've not done, especially them three players. They're so reliable for Liverpool, for them to kind of do that and the goal come from that was poor. And obviously Babel scoring the goal was obviously always going to be, if anyone scored, it was going to be him. But to be fair, good character, kept going, kept creating chances. You know, Mane again was outstanding, the outstanding player again for Liverpool for me. He's been world class, one of the best players in world football for me at the moment. Just keeps getting better week in, week out. Seen a little frustration in him as well with Salah at times. Salah was getting through and not passing the ball. You know, I've not seen that.
Selfish, wasn't he?
I've not seen that in Mane. Steve, I like that. It's good to see that. Sometimes you've got to tell your players, listen, I'm in a better position than you. Because Mane put Salah in, didn't he? You know, when he was through, he picks the pass out. So I think at times, although, you know, I don't want to get overcritical because he's just looking for that goal. But I just thought there was a few times yesterday, you know, they picked up on the commentary as well that he wasn't passing that ball where he could have and people were in better
areas. You see, Sharpie, you have picked up on this, that he will get more and more.
I just think there's something not right between the two of them. And you talk about it and you think, listen, as a goal scorer and as a centre forward, you want to score goals, but you're always taught that somebody's in a better position. You know, and strikers have got this thing. And I just think on a few occasions, I agree with you. I think that he's been in positions where he can slot him in and he doesn't. And I don't know whether that's...
Is it because he's looking for his 50th goal?
Yeah,
his 50th?
I think I don't know.
Does he want that? Does he want to get that milestone?
Yeah. I think he just wants a goal.
I think that's where he is, he just wants a goal, but sometimes he's making the wrong choices. But listen, look at him last year. Everything he hit was going in.
Yeah.
You know, he had another opportunity at the weekend where he maybe should have done better, but the goalkeeper saved it. He's having a run of games at the moment. But what I will say to somebody as well, you know, Liverpool weren't great, but any team that wins the championship, doesn't play well every single week. It's what they do is they grind it out, backs against the wall at times, and they come away, maybe a 0-0 draw or a 1-0 win or whatever. Can they grind things out? So you're never going to win every game winning the league playing well. So you've got to mix your game up. You've got to mix your game up whether you go to Fulham or Cardiff or whatever. You've got to mix your game up. But what you have to do is be strong as a group and get the results. And Liverpool, not great. 3 points on the board. That's
a bit more
strength
and a bit more, a few more players coming back as well. You know, Lovren's obviously back in the fold. You've got Gomez who might be back in the fold after the international break. So, you know, we're getting the strength back at the right end of the season for us.
Right, let's take a few calls. It's the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo. It's 20-7. Side showed a lot of character. Liverpool, I'm talking about yesterday. So let's start with the Reds. And I think we got Steve up first. Evening, Steve.
Hi, good evening, lads. You know, okay.
Hello, Steve.
Evening, Sharpie.
Hi, Steve.
Dom.
Hi, Jim.
Hiya. So, yeah, just a question for Dom, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, I call up most weeks on the Legends, but, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I've kind of, well, I spoke to John about, like, Shaqiri not coming in and out the team, but of recent, of late, he just doesn't seem to be getting a look in at all. I was speaking to Matt before I got put through and we were having a good conversation about it. We were saying, well, we first thought it was maybe a tactical change and maybe he's getting rested for Champions League or he's, you know, he was getting rested for the league games, but he just doesn't seem to be getting looking at the moment. And I wonder whether there's something going on between him and Jürgen Klopp or whether Jürgen Klopp just doesn't fancy him at all now, because I'm a little bit concerned really that he just doesn't fancy him at all and maybe he's not going to get a look in. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and it's difficult sometimes to read Jürgen Klopp, but I think there's something's got to be not right because he was doing so well, he was scoring goals, and when he came on he was making an impact, then he started some games and now we're lucky if we see him. Mm. You know, I know Adam Lallana's coming back in, but I still think, for me personally, Shaqiri, with what he can bring late in games, should be on the bench and should be brought on as well to create stuff. It seems like Origi's back in the fold now, and he's done all right. No disrespect, but I think, you know, the fans looking in probably are a little bit concerned about Shaqiri because we know the manager doesn't take any messing about. If he's not putting a shift in training, he's not working hard enough, then there's one thing that Jürgen Klopp will do: he'll leave you out, and that's the only thing I can think of. But I do find it difficult to believe that he's not working his socks off, because he knew when he came to Liverpool he wasn't going to be a starter and he's going to have to work hard week in, week out to be a regular. So I just don't understand. But if you look at his career, everywhere he's been, he's had these issues, hasn't he? He's not been
he's the only one in midfield, that man, offers something different.
No, I agree. I think he should be definitely on the bench every week if he's fit and he can be an impact or an option if needed.
He was on the bench yesterday, wasn't he?
Yes. He was on the bench. But he's not the first substitution to come on, Graham. He seems to be...
He was, though, wasn't he? He was for a while.
Although we should say Divock Origi was great, I thought, when he came on. He stretches it, he's physical, he's something different. I think he's proved that he should be involved, Divock Origi, in some of these games.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I mean, he normally comes on for one of the front three. In the midfield quartet, we're looking for something different to try and maybe go for the game. When it went to 1-1.
Would it have been perfect
for him to come on at that time? I mean, obviously, it turned out all right at the end.
Yeah,
but we have had a lot of draws where potentially he could have come on.
Would you possibly, I know Mo Salah's a top player, would you possibly think maybe that could be a change that Klopp could make?
I don't know about you, mate, but Mo Salah on the weekend, the last couple of games, I mean, he's been way off the boil and he's been so selfish in his play. I mean, geez, he had about four or five opportunities to square it to Mane or to Firmino, and he's going for goal, and it just strikes it like him being really greedy. I know he's trying to get to his 50 goals, and I know it's like the quickest of 50 goals, and he wants to be up there, but the team comes first at this time of the year, and I would have subbed him. Yeah, I mean, subbed him after about 60 minutes, something like that.
It looked like there was a bit of frustration with Mané, didn't he, when he didn't play him in the second half? Yeah. You know, you don't usually see that with Mané. He's usually one of those players who just gets on with it. But I think there was an opportunity there to stick him in and put the game to bed, and he's just not choosing the right option. And to be fair, Shaqiri's the one player, as you mentioned, that could come in and do that role that Salah does. But whether he works hard enough for Jurgen Klopp, that's my only doubt. I'm not sure if he works hard enough for Jurgen Klopp, and I know that's if he's scoring goals and creating stuff, but I just think Jurgen
Klopp
likes to
play. He looks like a busy player.
Yeah, but yeah. I think Klopp wants him to play.
I think he's busy on the ball, but not so much off the ball. That's off the ball, work that kind of. I mean, if you look at Lallana when he's come on, I mean, his work ethic for Lallana, I mean, that goal where he chased it, he blocked the tackle and we scored from at Anfield last week. And his whole work ethic is completely different. And maybe he just doesn't fancy Shaqiri, but I think I don't know. I feel like we have drew a lot of games and he could have been brought on and he could have changed the game. And I think come the summer, Dom, the first position we're going to look at is an attacking midfielder, someone who can unlock the door. That's what we're needing right now. And I feel like the team.
Yeah. Do you think
Shaqiri, and we could have done a lot better if he would have come on a couple of times.
Would you give Keita more time, or would you think we need to get somebody else in? Because obviously, I know it's his first season. And he's not been brilliant, has he? Let's be honest. Spells, we've seen him do well. Would you give him another year? I know we're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think we've got to give him
a bit more time.
I think he comes across as a really shy lad. I mean, I've seen there was an interview with him and Mane on LFC TV, and he's very dependent on Mane because obviously, like best friends, and he's integrated into the club. And I think it has been a massive transition for him. But he was at a European club in Germany for Leipzig, wasn't he? So, yeah. I mean, he knows what it's like to live in Europe. He knows what it's like to be away from his home country. And I thought he potentially would have done better into our league. And maybe that shows a little bit about what the German league's like.
Yeah, I think the physicality.
You probably say, I mean, the German league this season, they're getting shown to be not really a good league.
Yeah.
So maybe he's come from a league and he's filled out in a league that's potentially not really that great anyway.
See, but I think it takes. I've said this all along, and I think, when. As supporters, when you see a new player, you want to see instant performances. And sometimes people are different, and it's about getting into the environment, living in a different country, as you quite rightly said, getting used to people, getting used to the way of life and everything else. And it takes people sometimes longer than others. Some people can take to it like that, bang, straight in and do it. So I just think you'll see the best of him next year. I think you will. I think he's come in, he's had a year now where he hasn't played as much as he probably thought he would, but every day he's learning, what the manager expects from him, and I think he's just got to be patient with him. I think it's important. I think Everton are the same with the players that they've brought in there. Everybody expects him to just hit the ground running. Doesn't always work that way. What I will say about the Shaqiri thing, I've said it all along, when you look at him before, he's now gone to a club where the standards are up there, and you've got to be up there every single day in training.
Well, you always said there was a reason why I was at Stoke.
Yeah,
I said that
because your standards at a football club and the standards that a manager wants from you is not just on a Saturday, it's every day in training. Mm. And I said the story time and time again. Adrian Heath came from Stoke to Everton, struggled big time, struggled, couldn't get in the team or getting left out, form was hopeless. And he said to me, he says, I cannot believe the difference in the teams and the expectation levels from the supporters and the manager, what he wants every single day. So it's a big play in it. And if Shaqiri is not getting to the levels that Jurgen Klopp wants every day in training, he ain't going to play.
I agree with that.
The only way he's going to play is if he can be at 100% every single day in training. He can't afford to. Listen, we're looking and guessing from the outside. We don't know what the situation is. But for me, if you want to play for Klopp, you have to be at that level every single day.
Great first caller to kick the show off, Steve. Thank you very much indeed.
Steve. Thanks, mate.
Lots of good points there. 10-7 is the Radio City Legends. Graham Sharp, Dominic Mattia. We'll take more of your calls next. 4720967. 6:55. I'm Steve Hothersall. Dominic Mattia's in for Aldo tonight, and Sharpie's here as always. 4720967. We'll take some calls on Everton in just a second or two. Just a quickie on the players used yesterday. So obviously people have been looking at Yerry Mina since his arrival. A lot of money. And there's been no sort of consistency of him playing. But he's demonstrated maybe his quality and his worth. Is it time to have something in terms of a consistent run for him? Obviously, you paid a lot, and will Kurt Zouma be at Everton next season?
Well, I think that's the situation the manager's got to look at and think, right, okay, fair enough. What is the situation with Kurt Zouma? Is he going to go back? Is that a nailed on? He's going to go back, and you know, Chelsea have got the transfer embargo on them now, so they might may well need him back. So I think they need to get to the bottom of that. And if that was the case for me in the remaining, what, is it 7-8 games?
Do you start playing him now?
I would play Mina, yeah. You know, if I know that Zouma's gone back, you know, and Mina's fit now. Mina's had injury problems. You know, you hear that this big, brave centre-half and he's been out for all that time. He got back on Saturday. Played all right. Played okay. I still think there's a few question marks over him. I still think he's very... very, very similar to Funes Mori that we had, you know, where you just think at times anything can happen here. You know, he could get sent off, he could give away a penalty, he's rash, anything. But the interesting thing about yesterday was, first half, they tried to play it out from the back and the two different centre-backs split to either side of the box, as you expect. Yeah. And I'm thinking, no, not against this team kind of thing. We tried to do it a couple of times and we really, really struggled, kept giving the ball away. Second half we went a little bit more back to front, you know, from Jordan Pickford, and kind of pressed them higher up the field, and it was a better performance. But, you know, I just think Yerry Mina, yeah, I'd give him a run of games.
Just to see how good he can be.
Yeah, I would do.
Right, let's talk about Jordan Pickford. Our next caller is Gary, who's on the line. I think he wants to focus on the keeper. Evening, Gary, welcome to the show.
Cheers, lads. Cheers, Steve. Cheers, Graham.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah. All right, Graham. I'm made up for the Jordan yesterday. I think he's done the simple things well, and I think that's what he's got to start doing. But you've got to remember, Graham, he's only young. He's only 25 a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And goalkeepers, as you know, 28, 29, I think they probably beat. And if you remember going back, we put Neville Southall out on loan when he first got into the team. And I think that's done him the world a good ball. I was made up for Jordan yesterday. I think he's done the good things, simple things well. And I was made up for him. But also, Graham, you know, Calvert-Lewin, I think he's growing into a decent centre-forward, you know. Mm-hmm. 21 years of age. You remember when you were around 21, Graham, I'd be going back a bit. What was you like at 21 at Everton?
Gary, thanks very much. No, that wasn't that long ago.
40 years ago.
Nah, listen, you're spot on. You know, I came down, and listen, I've said to somebody before, the last caller, talking about players coming, you've got to bed in, and especially, you know, only foreign players that are coming over need time to bed in. Young players will always have dips in form. You know, they'll play well for 6-7 games, and then they'll have a little dip, and then in an ideal world, you take them out and rest them and bring them back in again. I think Dom, and I've said it time and time again, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, if you look at all the attributes he's got and judge him, I think he's good in the air. I think he's got a great spring. I think his touch is good. I think he's quick. I think he's quick. So he's got all the attributes. The only attribute that I would say that I'd want him to do is be maybe more aggressive and for him to score more goals, be more aggressive in the box and get on the end of things. He had the header which led to the first goal yesterday. Had another couple we maybe should have done a little bit better. But my only negative is that just be more aggressive. And I just said to the lads before, when Rudiger walked off yesterday, he was going mad at himself or going mad at the team. And I think that's the hardest game he's had in a long while. I thought the boy put himself about, kind of made him run into corners, made him run into channels, jumped against him and gave him a tough time. And I think that's what Dominic has to do every single game, you know, and get that about
him. He's filling out a bit, Graham, as well.
Yeah.
You know, so he's starting to develop his muscles and he's starting to fill out a bit.
Yeah.
And I think he's still growing. But yesterday when we got that goal, and I sit in the back end, and when that corner went in, I either thought Keane is on the end of it or Keane got on the end of that. But when I looked at it on the telly, I thought, you know, it's all about time, and as you know, when you're a forward, getting attacking the spaces, just timing your run in there. And he timed that perfect. I'm so great, said, you know, right there, did he write the goalie's feet, you know, comes back off the goal, you've got three or four players who can dive in there and put in. That's what happened. I made up with Calvert-Lewin. I think he's grown into a decent forward.
Yeah. Gary, listen, we all know, and listen, everybody wants instant success, and it doesn't happen like that. Everybody wants when you go in there. And listen, there is pressure on you. Dominic will tell you here, when you go in, you need to make sure that you're in the team the next week. So that brings more pressure as well. But I think the lad's coped well. You know, you've got to remember he's come from Sheffield United. You know, he's had to bide his time. He's having a run of games now, and I think his performances are getting better. So, you know, all credit to the lad. He's still got a long way to go, don't get me wrong, to get that consistency in his performance. But that will come as he gets older.
Yeah, what else about? No, I didn't see that result at half time, to be honest with you.
No.
I thought to myself, we need to do something different here. We need to try and change something. And as you said before, I think we went from back to front a bit more direct. But, you know, you've got to put them Chelsea lads under pressure. I think we went out there, and as soon as that whistle went, we were on them. You know, we put them under pressure, and we got them turning, and they started playing with their heads down a little bit then, and we sort of got at them a little bit, and just that first goal that kicked us on. A little bit disappointed with Gilkey Sigurdsson yesterday. It took him a long time to get into the game, and he's the type of player you need to get a grip of the game.
Yeah.
So a little bit of support for Gilkey. I don't think he took a while getting into that game yesterday, you know.
Yeah,
so at the end of the day, results.
Gary, I think you're spot on. I think the first half, you know, we were miles off it, couldn't get into it. I think, you know, everybody grew into it the second half. But what they've got to do now, it shows you they can do it. They've got to be consistent enough. And the good thing for me out of yesterday was the fact a clean sheet. We conceded 3 at Newcastle. People were talking about the goals we conceded, Dom, and the set pieces. And didn't look anything wrong with the way they're marking up at set pieces yesterday. You know, and Chelsea have got quality at that. You know, nobody was moaning about zonal marking yesterday. We looked strong. Mina, at times when the ball came in the box, was strong defensive, got his head in things. So, no, I thought second half was a far better performance. But the players have got to show that over 90 minutes. You know, 45 minutes, very rarely you win a game in 45 minutes. You need to do it over the 90.
Gary, thank you very much indeed. Some really good stuff there. And you got 40 points now as well. So there's no worry,
never
is there? 40 on the board.
Excuse me, you were the one that was worried about it, yeah.
Just to pick up very quickly before we get to our next caller, last week, of course, there was a lot of criticism for Jordan Pickford. He seems to have responded to that, reacted to that well, and that's a great thing. You played with David James.
Yeah. We're laughing at
him. Did a fair bit of clowning around, didn't he?
I'll tell him this. No.
How did he sort of react when...
He didn't really clown around, did he?
No.
He did a little bit.
Bruce did. David James.
No, I think, with David, he...
Was it more Calamity James?
No, he's super talented. And I think he could come for... He believed he could come for stuff that he didn't need to come and try and get to help the defence out, because he was super talented, as in, you know, the agility of him and the weight, you know, the physique of him. But for me, sometimes... I mean, I always say Nigel Martin, who played for Everton as well, was the best goalkeeper I played with, because I knew what he was doing all the time. So I knew when I had to go and head the ball, I knew when Nigel was coming. It was very easy to play off because he didn't come and do stupid things. And I think that's the thing, that as a young goalkeeper, you have to learn. You can't always be the hero. It's about making the right decisions. And I think Pickford...
I think he's been doing too much.
Because the team's been struggling. I think he's believing, you know, he's obviously got a lot of experience with England now and stuff, but I think he's trying to be the main man. Whether just play your own game and do the basics well as a footballer. And I think that's what he did yesterday. He did it really well. And it's good to see him back playing well.
Yeah. Fair enough assessment of things. Let's move to the Liverpool side of things. We're going to talk Mo Salah with Richard, who's next up on the lines. Evening, Richard. Richard, do we have you?
We have me, yeah.
There we go. You're through to Dom. What's your thoughts on Mo at the moment?
Hello, boys.
How are you doing, Richard?
Yeah, I'm fine. As it is, obviously, he's been getting a lot of stick over the past few weeks. You know, he hasn't been scoring the goals and stuff like that. And I just see recently on Twitter and social media, he's just getting a lot of stick. And now there's a small percentage saying that, you know, it's time for Klopp to get rid of him and possibly replace him with another... and attack and play and stuff like that. I think it's just harsh, you know what I mean? You know, obviously he is going through a bit of a goal drought at the moment. I think it's like 8 games that he hasn't scored in at the moment. But, you know, his contribution, you know, on the pitch is phenomenal as well. I mean, you know, I think he's still scored 17 Premier League goals and 20 in all competitions. I think he's had about 7 or 8 assists, maybe a bit more. And I was looking at the stats over the past few months, his chances created, his big chances created. You're talking maybe 15, 20, you know, big chances created. And just the stick that he's getting over the past few weeks is just it's a bit bizarre, to be honest. Now, obviously, it's only a small percentage of these bands, but it's just, you know, always it takes a few people to jump on it, and then, you know, the media on it, and everyone else is on it, and obviously, it's just going to affect the player once he gets on the pitch, isn't it, you know?
I mean, I think the one thing you still guarantee with Salah is the work rate, and he also drags players out of position for the other team. I think Mane's got a lot of joy from some of the runs, sometimes the runs that Salah makes and Firmino makes. They work so well together. I think the only criticism I could have personally, because, all right, everyone missed chances, but it's just, as we mentioned earlier, when you're getting into them positions and somebody's in a better position than you, can you pick somebody out? You know, it's been obvious a couple of times there's been a ball on and he's not chosen to take that. He's obviously gone for the shot, which sometimes you do when you're a little bit lacking on confidence. But overall, week in, week out, I wouldn't want to play against him. He's still making them runs. He's just not going in the back of the net. And I tell you what, they might come. When they come, he'll get a few. And I think, you know, the next game of the Spurs, isn't it? The next game at Spurs. Big game. You know, they're the type of games that we need people like him. Because Mane's the one who's been, week in, week out, he's been getting the big, crucial goals with Firmino. And I think you're right. I think the criticism has been harsh. And by the way, as a defender, ex-defender, and, you know, sometimes you have a bad few games against people, defenders work you out. It's a good league.
Of course. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think it was a few weeks ago, he had about three or four chances where he could have passed to Mane or could have passed through whoever, and he just wasn't, he was looking for that goal, you know what I mean, to get his 50th goal, which, you know, people were still jumping on his back, he's greedy, you know, he needs to be dropped, you know, and blah, blah, this, that and the other. It's like, I can understand where some are coming from, but, you know, a player of that calibre, you know, Klopp is not going to drop him, he's a phenomenal player.
He's not a selfish player, is he? He works his socks off for the team.
He works his socks off.
I don't know what his stats are, but I bet you they're right up there.
I don't even think that he'd be bothered. Like, no. Listen, when he gets the 50 goals, he gets the 50 goals. Yeah. I don't think he's going out every game thinking, oh, if I get a chance here, I'm going to shoot. I'm not going to pass him because I've got my 50th goal. That'll come. That'll come in time, whether it's next game, the game after, that'll come. So I don't think he's actually thinking about that. And I just think that, again, that we're hearing some of the stick he gets, it's ridiculous. You know, he had a fantastic season last year, an unbelievable season last year, and it would have been hard to live up to that again. So what, at the moment, he's missing a few chances. So what? He's still giving you something.
Yeah. It's just the negativity that goes wild. And obviously, Sharpie, you know, people sort of jump on that bandwagon.
Of course.
And then, you know, it's sort of, you know, because, I mean, I follow Salah on Twitter, and you know, some of the posts that he does is you know, brilliant and that. And then I read some of the comments, and people just give him so much stick and so much abuse. It's like, get a grip, and you know, he's one of our top players.
Yeah.
And, yeah, second top goal scorer in the Premier League this year, behind Aguero. Is that right? Crazy.
I think back to that Mane situation. I mean, obviously, he is the man at the moment, you know what I mean? There's a bit of talk of, I don't know how true it is, about Zidane wanting him to go there, I hope that doesn't happen anyway, you know what I mean?
He's been outstanding, hasn't he, Mane? I think he's just consistently again this season, he's just got better and better.
Better and better. Yeah. And just one quick point as well while you're there. What's going on with Shaqiri, by any chance? Do you know?
We had a caller earlier, and we're all a bit thinking the same. Obviously, I don't know if he's not. I mean, he's had a few clubs. He has been labelled at him. He doesn't put a shift in at times, and he's a bit of a, you know, fair weather player, if you want to call it. And maybe that's the thing. And obviously, Jurgen Klopp won't stand for people not putting 100% effort. I don't know if sometimes when he plays, he's great on the ball, but I don't think he does the work off the ball that Jurgen Klopp requires. And that's why I think, personally, it can only be that reason, because he has impacted the team at times this year. But it's a real mystery, because he can win your games, especially at this stage of the season.
Thank you, Richie. Great conversation. It's the Radio City Legends. Just to underline what the boys were saying, Mo Salah 17 goals and Sadio Mane 17 goals. Salah 7 assists, Mane 1 assist.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, both had great goal scoring seasons so far, haven't they?
What's
17
Firmino,
goals
what's
each.
Firmino got as well? So there's 34 goals between two. So Firmino, what, double figures maybe?
11 goals, 5 assists.
So what's that, 34? That's 40, 45. 40, between the three of them.
But it's all about the front three,
bad,
isn't it?
It's not bad.
All right.
And, but I sorry, Steve, very quickly, but they said before, and we've had it on here before, they need midfield players to chip in. Yeah, more goals.
They're still agreed. Not doing. Agreed. 7:10. Right, it's Pens next. Dom's a little bit worried. He sort of conceded this before we've even started. But come on, give it your best shot, Dom. We'll play Pens in a moment. 7:15. Graham Sharp's here. Dominic Matteo's in for Aldo today. He's having a little break in the sunshine. He's been playing some golf today as Aldo. And if you're a follower of his social media, his golf bag looks typically understated. I'm sort of thinking, if you lose Pens by the end of the season, will you carry Aldo's golf bag around?
Around
the golf.
No,
have you not seen it?
No.
Right, Sharpie, have a look at this. Go on, describe it to the listeners.
Horrible.
Do you reckon that's a freebie?
I don't know, but it's Liverpool red. You wouldn't miss that from a mile away, would
has
you?
Has he got Live Birds on? It has, hasn't he?
It's a full Liverpool.
Come on.
You can buy them.
If you lose Pens, you use one of these on a round of golf.
Hey, by the way, it must be a freebie.
Yeah, isn't it?
He
yeah,
wouldn't pay for that,
yeah,
would he?
No.
Right, okay, Dom. Okay. It's all in your hands. Let's have a look at things.
Who's
where,
first?
Where are we going to
go on, Dom, you can go first.
Yes. Number three.
Number three, first question.
And hold on, are the questions right this time? Is there any... anything wrong with the questions?
Is he starting already?
No, the producer's been...
The producer's had a nightmare.
Christian's gone out, so we're all right.
Been given a severe reprimand for his behaviour the other night. Here we go. What was the score last time Liverpool played Porto away in
5-0.
The Champions League? Are you going for
5-0?
Oh, wow.
Nice one to start.
Can I say, you chose the right question.
Thank you very much.
That's one right for Dom. Sharpie.
No pressure.
Four.
Number four. Name the four semi-finalists.
Oh, no. Has every night hey, I get this.
Talking about the producer getting things wrong.
He's got to get wrong again.
Do you know what he's written here?
Go on.
Name the four semi-finalists at the 2-1-0 FIFA World Cup.
2-1-0, 210.
Is that 210? Is that just after
AD,
Christ was
that
born?
AD, yeah.
What is it? 2010? Yeah. Right. Name the four semi-finalists at the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Cop.
No idea. Absolutely.
Well, think back to it. Where was it held, first of all?
No idea. Tell me. Remember.
What?
It was in Brazil. So I'll go.
Come back on the microphone. Here
I'll
go.
Right. Brazil.
Okay.
I've got to tell my facts.
Oh, dear me!
No, I said it was in Brazil.
You said Brazil.
Yeah, it was in Brazil.
No, you said Brazil. As in a team. Dom, what do you think?
Germany must have been.
Germany were in there.
Spain?
Yes.
Argentina?
No.
Colombia?
No.
France?
No. The Netherlands and Uruguay.
Uruguay, that was the one, yeah.
Yeah. You should have been studying this. We've had a few weeks now of FIFA World Cup final questions.
Bore off.
Right, go on. Dom, where do we go
what
from
we
here?
Got? We got three or four, so I'll go number two.
Number two is song and artist.
Oh, this is a stitch-up.
You need both of these. Song and artist.
And they're very strict with these as well.
Aldo's awful at these.
I'm rubbish at song anyway. I'm rubbish at song. And all
the roads we oh, come on!
What? That might be Oasis. Wonderwall.
It's Oasis and Wonderwall. Is that your answer?
Yes, it is.
Mister!
Let me tell you.
I am happy with these questions
so far.
Let me
tell you, you have obviously...
It's the look of the draw, isn't it, Sharpie?
Look of the draw.
Well, don't get this one wrong.
You've obviously been working late.
Sharpie, you've got a chance.
The weekend.
You've still
don't get this one wrong.
Room with the shout.
Six.
Number six. Where's our question right?
Name four players that have been playing for...
No, you'll get this. What club did Everton sign Seamus Coleman from?
No.
This is very easy for you.
I'm going to see Sligo Rovers.
Fantastic.
What number
you're back in the game.
Six?
Number six.
Six.
Dom.
Number one.
Number one is mystery voice time. Have a listen to this.
He's
can you nail this man down?
But each game had real significant meaning.
Okay. Oh, I know that voice very well.
We'll do it
played
again.
With him.
But each game had real
played
significant meaning.
Danny Murphy.
You think it's Danny Murphy?
Yeah. Oh, I say.
Three right for Dom.
It's birthday as well today.
Sharpie.
That's not, is it?
It is. It's his birthday.
You've gone there again, haven't you?
He's not done birthday. It for a while.
You've gone there again.
He's not done it for a while.
To be fair, the last one's quite hard. Name five players who played in Wolves' victory over Man United in the FA Cup. Can you get it anyway?
Jimenez.
Yeah.
Cody.
Yeah.
Jota.
John Ruddy. No, Ruddy was
Ruddy, Ruddy played, yeah.
What did I say? Ruddy, Jimenez.
Jimenez there? Jimenez is not.
He scored, didn't he? He scored.
Did he? Oh, I don't think he's involved, did he?
Yeah. That doesn't matter.
Oh, all right. Never mind. You could have had Bowley, Otto, Neves, Raul.
That's him. Raul Jimenez.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
Yeah. What chance have you got? See what I mean?
Watch out. Oh, don't blame it on that. That.
There you go, Aldo. Another one in the bag.
Yep.
I like them questions.
Are you going to text him quickly?
I think I should be texting Dom these questions.
Well, couldn't get them wrong. Yeah. Couldn't get them wrong.
No.
24-20.
Would you have got them all right?
Season's gone to pot.
I can't even remember, were they?
You'd have got...
No, I got Oasis.
Porto.
Yeah, because you talked about it before. Earlier, five. Yeah. And what was the other one?
The mystery voice, Danny Murphy. You got his voice, wouldn't you, from TV?
Yeah, they're good ones. It's all about what you pick. Let's squeeze another caller in. We can talk Everton before we're off air. It's the Radio City Legends. Boys, get the headphones on. And I think Dave's next up. Evening, Dave.
Evening, lads.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, it's just obviously just the result going into the international break. You know, it gives you good results, like against Chelsea, because they're still a top four club. You know, obviously they're not going to get there this season, but still a top four club. But it's just the break in the international just disturbed the momentum as well. And I just thought, you know, I'll get on the point about that tonight. And obviously a few points really, you know. So I was slating silver a couple of weeks ago, but then turned the corner, you know, we had a decent performance against the neighbours across the park. And then obviously we got conceded 3 goals against Newcastle, but the first half we thought, you know, on the up, and then used to do the first 45 minutes with it. Didn't get out the gears a little bit, but then, you know, come out second half. Is that the Marco Silva way now that he's trying to sort of like get it into the players, you know, with starting to tick in the brains and, you know, the philosophy starting to develop on the pitch? And I think to myself, you know, he's won me over. Let's get to the summer. Let's get a good strong finish. See where we finish in the league. Maybe seventh at a push. And, you know, give Marco Silva the back and give Marcel Brand the time. And let's push on, because the philosophy is starting to work on the pitch. And a number of fans around me, and the gladest yesterday said, you know, you can start seeing what he's trying to get implemented into the idea, into the players now, you know, just the high line pressing, the quick tempo football. It takes time. It does take time. But obviously, you know, as you said before, Sharpie, you know, you can't get success overnight in the Premiership. That's what we want. We want to try and get into Europe. We want to try and get into the Champions League and push on. That's where the money comes in.
Yeah.
And,
go on, Sharpie. Just reflect on some of those points.
What you're saying is right, kind of thing. But what I thought yesterday was second half, the players showed a little bit. You know what? I thought they'd have been in at half time and thought, well, this isn't good enough. Now, I don't know if it was the manager that's had a go at them at half-time or whatever, but I'd like to think, and I've said it before, we talk about zonal marking, the players have got to take responsibility, you know, for what happens on the pitch. So I'd like to think that they realised the first half wasn't good enough and they had to get after Chelsea a little bit more. And I think from the first seconds in the kick-off, we had the chance, and that's what we wanted to see. But what they need to do is they need to give that over 90 minutes. You can't be a 45-minute team. You've got to be a 90-minute team. You know, if you're a 90-minute team, you're likely to be up the top of the league rather than down the mid-table at the bottom. I think seventh might be beyond us. I think the games we've got coming up are really tough games, but I think they're games that you want to play. And I'm looking at our home games against Arsenal United, you know, big games, ones you always want to play in. But having to go away to West Ham, you know, Crystal Palace as well, they're going to be really tough games. So it's important we finish the season well. But hopefully we're seeing little shoots, you know, that hopefully we can kick on from here. But as I said, I've said it all along, you need to give the manager time.
You've got to win your own games, that's the thing. And obviously, you know, the relation to the fans, you know, about getting the atmosphere of Goodison going again. The atmosphere's starting to get there, but you've got to see what's on the pitch.
Yeah.
And if the players show character and heart, then obviously the fans will get behind them and like what they're seeing, that's where the crowd gets going.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the fans are the 12th man. And obviously, let's turn Goodison back into the Forest, you know what I mean, and start making teams to here coming to Goodison.
I think, Dave, that performance second half yesterday is what they should be. It should be that week in, week out. That should be the bare minimum that you get from your Everton team. Having a go, working teams hard. And you know, I think the fans, second half for me, I mean, I was watching on the telly, the atmosphere was great. You're all getting behind a team. That's what you want. That's what Everton need. They need to all come together. But they need the performance, the consistency, as Graham's talked about. They haven't had that for a while. They need to, the next game they play against West Ham away, not an easy game. Mm. Same commitment, same effort. There's no reason why you can't go there and get a result.
Dave, we've got to go. Thank you very much indeed. Do you know Stephen Warnock snitched on us? So he's actually tweeted John Aldridge.
Quite right.
He said, cracker of a bag that, John. Getting a bit of stick from Steve Hothersall and Sharpie and Dom. So he's listening. And so then I put underneath it, Sharpie's agreed to use it for a round if you win pens this season. So let's see if Aldo comes back on that one.
No chance of that, though, is there?
There's no chance of that happening.
I'm not sure Stephen Warnock ever beat you on pens, did he?
I would carry my clubs round in my hands rather than do that.
Stop it. Another international. It's poor time, isn't it? This international break. 5 seconds each.
Scotland are playing Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Andy Robinson's out, isn't he? Having a little operation.
That about sums it up.
Yeah.
Scotland, Kazakhstan. Boys, thank you. Tom, lovely to see you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't mention the rugby.
Damn it, 5 seconds left. Boys, thank you. Good night. Cheers. And thanks for listening. I'll be back on the kickoff on Radio City Talk tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.